you bribe the right politicians in the right order at the right time, you can trade the nuclear warheads for medicine, and it's not even a crime. $1 on clinical trials, $600 on making you dead. Your leaders aren't evil.
There are 9.5 million possible drug-disease combinations. You've tested 32,500. That's like searching for your keys in 0.34% of your house and declaring them lost. The other 99.7% is sitting right there, untested, because the molecules weren't profitable enough to bother. How you accidentally cured three things and then stopped. In 1996, a team of Pfizer scientists sat in a room looking at clinical trial data for a chest pain drug called sildenafil. The drug had failed. It did not fix chest pain. Nobody's chest felt better. The trial was, by every metric that mattered to the people who paid for it, a complete waste of money. Then, the test subjects refused to return their leftover pills. This had never happened before. People don't hoard failed medicine. The scientists investigated. What they discovered was that sildenafil had a side effect so commercially valuable it would generate $1.9 billion per year for the next two decades. You know it as Viagra. The cure for erectile dysfunction was hiding inside a failed heart drug, and the only reason anyone found it was because a group of men did something unusual with a feedback form. Minoxidil has a similar origin story. Developed for high blood pressure, failed at that too, side effect, hair growth. It became Rogaine. Then, sildenafil got repurposed again for pulmonary hypertension, making it three cures from two failed drugs, none of them intentional. On Washonia, when we heard about this, we asked the obvious question. So then you tested all of the other drugs for all the other side effects, right? You did not. You found three cures by accident, said, huh, neat, and went back to testing the same 12 biological targets that pharmaceutical companies can patent. This is like finding buried treasure in your backyard, selling the treasure, and then never digging in your backyard again because the first hole was supposed to be for a fence post. I have been observing your species for 80 years. I have seen you do many confusing things, but this one keeps me up at night, which is saying something because I don't sleep. Your medicine cabinet, after 5,000 years of civilization. Prescriptions. 20,000 products approved in the U.S. Sounds impressive until you realize most are variations of each other. Your pharmaceutical industry has invented 300 ways to sell the same painkiller in different colored packaging. On Washonia, this would be considered a graphic design achievement, not a medical one. Unique ingredients, these products contain only 1,650 compounds, fewer unique molecules than a French bakery uses ingredients. Investigational drugs, 7,500 compounds have passed phase one globally. These are compounds you already know won't kill people, sitting in filing cabinets, doing nothing. Safe stuff, The FDA generally recognized as safe, or GRAS, list contains 635 substances, things you could eat right now without dying. Low bar, still useful. Total unique compounds humanity knows are safe-ish, 9,500 compounds.
That's it. 5 millennia of civilization, and this is your entire toolkit? On Washonia, we have more compounds in a single bathroom cabinet. Your bathroom cabinet has shampoo and expired cough syrup from 2019. Codes. The ICD-10 lists 14,000 ways your meat can malfunction. This is your species' most comprehensive to-do list. You are not doing it. Real targets. After consolidation, 1,000 trial-relevant diseases are actually worth testing drugs against. The multiplication problem. Here is where it gets uncomfortable. Take your 9,500 safe compounds, multiply by 1,000 diseases. This gives you the total number of things you could test tomorrow morning if you weren't busy filling out forms about whether you're allowed to test them. 9,500 compounds times 1,000 diseases equals 9.5 million possible drug-disease combinations. This is not a hard calculation. A child could do it. Several children have. The children were then told to stop asking uncomfortable questions and go play outside. What you've actually tried. Approved uses. 1,750 unique approved drug-disease pairings. This is your entire medical canon. 5,000 years of civilization, libraries of medical journals, Nobel Prizes, white coats, stethoscopes, all of it produced this number. Repurposed uses, 30% of drugs gain at least one new indication after initial approval. The rest never get a second date. Failed trials, let's be generous and say you tested 10 times as many things that failed. You learned nothing from most of them because your system throws away in negative results, like a restaurant that only writes down the recipes that taste good. Total tested, 32,500. Relationships tested out of 9.5 million possibilities equals 0.342%. Where? You have explored 1/3 of 1% of the things you could test using molecules you already have. I want to sit with that for a moment. You have safe compounds. You have sick people. You have the ability to introduce them to each other. You have done this 0.342% of the time. The other 99.66% of introductions have never been made. Not because they wouldn't work, because the molecule didn't have a marketing budget. On Washonia, if a doctor explored 0.342% of treatment options and declared the patient incurable, we would gently suggest the doctor continue looking. On Earth, you publish a paper about the 0.342% you studied and apply for a grant to re-study the 0.342% you studied last time. Maybe the other 99.66% is useless. This is the objection I hear most often from humans who would prefer not to feel bad about this. Let me address it by introducing you to your own biology, which you have mostly not met. You're ignoring 88% of your own biology. Mapping 350,000 plus clinical trials showed that only 12% of the human interactome has ever been targeted by drugs. You have a 100-room mansion. You live in the bathroom. You have decorated the bathroom very nicely. You have published papers about the bathroom. The other 88 rooms are locked, and when someone asks about them, you say, "We're focused on bathroom excellence at this time." Your drugs are promiscuous, and you're pretending they're not. FDA-approved drugs bind to things you didn't intend. This means side effects are frequently cures for something else that nobody bothered to notice. Remember Viagra? That was a side effect. Rogaine? Side effect. Sildenafil got repurposed again for pulmonary hypertension. 3 cures from 2 drugs, none intentional. your entire drug discovery strategy is wander around and hope you trip over something. It works surprisingly often, which is less a compliment to the strategy than an indictment of having no strategy at all. Your diseases share wiring you haven't traced. Diseases cluster on shared biological networks. Arthritis and Alzheimer's share pathways. Lithium was prescribed for gout in the 1800s. Decades later, it turned out to be the gold standard treatment for bipolar disorder. Nobody connected the dots because nobody was drawing lines between diseases. The drug that treats your grandfather's inflammation might fix your grandmother's neurodegeneration. You won't find out because testing it would require a $100 million clinical trial that takes longer than grandma has left. Beyond your cupboard, where it gets embarrassing. Everything above only counted molecules you already have. The safe stuff. The things sitting in your filing cabinets right now, gathering dust and expiration dates. If you look at what's chemically possible, it gets worse. Chemical space. Estimated 10 to the 23rd power to 10 to the 60th power drug-like molecules. More candidates than atoms in your body. More than stars in your galaxy. More than the number of times your regulatory agencies have said, "We need more data." Virtual libraries. Zinc 22 contains tens of billions of virtual molecules. You can order them online, like shoes, but for not dying. You have ordered more shoes. Synthesized. You have made less than 10 to the negative 40th power of possible molecules. Tested divided by possible equals approximately 10 to the negative 20th to 10 to the negative 50th. These are numbers so small that the notation system itself starts to feel embarrassed. 10 to the negative 50th power is not a fraction. It's a rounding error's rounding error. It is the mathematical equivalent of having not started because you have not started. Why you are still sick? A diagnosis. I want to be very clear. You are not sick because curing disease is impossible. You are sick because you built a system that charges $100 million per introduction between a molecule and a disease, and then gave all the money to a different system that introduces warheads to cities. The warheads work fine. The disease introduction system has four design flaws. All of them are about money. None of them are about science. The ticket price is insane. A typical phase 2 to 3 trial costs $30 to $100 million. Median cost per patient, $41,000. At that price, you only test things pharmaceutical companies can patent and sell at enormous markups. Everything else sits untested. Imagine a dating app where each date costs $100 million and only billionaires are allowed to swipe. That's your drug approval system. The molecules without money die alone. Everyone goes to France. Trials overwhelmingly test the same few biological targets due to preferential attachment dynamics. Everyone studies what everyone else studies because that's how you get grants. It's a herd behavior that would embarrass actual herds. Cows at least spread out across the field. Your researchers cluster around 12 targets because those are the targets with grant funding, and the grant funding goes to those targets because those are the targets with researchers. This is a circle, not the good kind. Cheap molecules can't play. Most molecules have no patent. No patent means no $100 million trial. No trial means no approval. Metformin, a diabetes drug from the 1950s, shows persistent signals for reducing cancer risk and extending lifespan. It costs pennies. It's off patent. The trial to prove it works for aging, TAME, spent years begging for funding because no pharmaceutical company will bankroll a drug they can't monopolize. The molecule that could save your life doesn't make enough money to be worth testing. You die. Quarterly earnings go up. The system is working exactly as designed, which is the problem. Unprofitable diseases don't exist. If you have a rare disease with no market, you don't get a drug. Your cells malfunction in an unprofitable way. The invisible hand of the market has weighed your life against shareholder returns and found you wanting. On Wishonia, we don't have an invisible hand. We have a visible calculator. It counts deaths. When the number goes up, it allocates resources. This is apparently radical on your planet. The timeline. How long until you finish looking? At your current pace of 3.3 thousand trials per year, I calculated how long it would take to systematically test what you have. The results are, and I say this with genuine affection for your species, not great. Just the safe compounds you already own? 9.5 million combinations divided by 3.3 thousand trials per year equals 2.88 thousand years.
2,880 years, using compounds already confirmed not to kill people, sitting in cabinets with labels on them. You won't finish until roughly the year 5,000, at which point the people who needed the drugs will have been dead for 3,000 years, which somewhat reduces the clinical urgency. Combination therapies, which is how modern medicine actually works, oncology, HIV, cardiology, psychiatry, all routinely use multi-drug cocktails. The real question isn't, does this one drug work, but which combinations work? Testing pairwise combinations? 45.1 billion combinations divided by 3,300 trials per year equals 13.7 million years. That's longer than Homo sapiens has existed as a species. You would need to have started testing drug combinations before your ancestors climbed down from the trees, and you still wouldn't be done. And that's only pairs. If you want triplets, you'll need to outlive the sun. The full chemical universe. Beyond your cupboard, the chemical space contains 10 to the 23rd to 10 to the 60th power drug-like molecules. At current trial capacity, exploring even the synthesizable fraction would take longer than the universe has existed. The universe is 13.8 billion years old. You need more time than that to test pills. But won't we run out of easy discoveries? Some of your economists, the ones who've never looked through a microscope, will argue diminishing returns. The more you search, the harder each new find becomes. This assumes you've already picked the low-hanging fruit. You are not in the orchard. You are standing outside the orchard, filling out a 47-page application to enter the orchard. The application requires 3 letters of recommendation, an institutional review board approval, and a 14-month waiting period. The fruit is rotting. You can see it rotting. You're on page 12 of the application. Diminishing returns kicks in after you've explored a meaningful fraction of the space. At less than 1% explored, every trial teaches you something new, improving your ability to predict what works next. The math. Even with weak learning effects, diminishing returns only dominates after exploring roughly 37% of therapeutic space. For combination therapies, that crossover is over 5 million years away at current pace, 37% of 45.1 billion combinations at 3,300 trials per year. You cannot have diminishing returns when you haven't had any returns. See the formal analysis for the equations. What happens when you actually try? The Oxford recovery trial during COVID-19 proved something your pharmaceutical industry would prefer you didn't know. Large-scale pragmatic trials can run for roughly $500 per patient and deliver results in less than 100 days. $500 versus $41,000.
Read those two numbers again. One of them is the cost of finding out if a drug works. The other is the cost of finding out if a drug works while also paying for marble lobbies, compliance departments, and a CEO's third yacht. The medicine is the same. The patients are the same. The yacht is new. With a decentralized FDA, trial capacity increases by 12.3 times. 9.5 million combinations divided by 40,700 trials per year equals 234 years. Still not fast, but at least it's a number your grandchildren might live to see the end of, rather than a number that requires your species to outlive its own star. The first few decades would capture the highest value discoveries, the cures that current trial scarcity forces you to ignore while people die in the waiting room. Your decentralized FDA builds permanent infrastructure for systematic therapeutic exploration. The goal isn't to finish. The goal is to stop leaving cures on the table while you form subcommittees to discuss whether to form committees to review the proposal to consider looking at them. The bottom line. You have tested 0.342% of the drug-disease combinations testable with compounds you already own. If you include the larger chemical universe, roughly 100 quintillionth to 1 tredillionth of what's possible. The reason is not scientific. The reason is financial. Trials cost too much, and the money is busy being missiles. A decentralized, automated, pragmatic trial system is the only route to systematically explore the remaining 99.999% of medical space. The cures exist, the molecules are sitting in your cabinets, the patients are willing, the only thing between them is a system that charges $100 million to introduce them and takes 17 years to make the introduction. On Washomia, we have a word for holding sick people hostage until someone pays a ransom. We call it crime. On Earth, you call it regulation. You seem very proud of it.
Thank you so much for taking the time to end war and disease. But if at any point you decide you're too busy, please press the share button on your glowing rectangle in case one of your friends have a free afternoon to end war and disease instead. And if you're too busy to even do that, please leave a really, really, really good rating and review so we overcome the pro-war algorithmic suppression and find someone with more spare time for ending wars and diseases. The good review doesn't have to be true. They don't check. But if you're too busy to even do that, the absolute least you could do is take 15 seconds to go to warondisease.org and make your wishocratic allocation, telling us what fraction of humanity's resources should go to explosions versus clinical trials, and vote. If the 1% treaty passes, your vote will be personally to blame for saving 38.4 lives and preventing 6.9 million hours of suffering. Go to warondisease.org right now. Love you. Bye.